प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिनी गौर कृषे नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कंचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो राम रामो हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। सीक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, यस, जननी वास प्रभु एंड ऑल द सीनियर वैष्णवस, लाइक स्मॉल चाइल्ड ट्राइंग टू स्पीक समथिंग। टुडे इज इन द पर्पट प्रभुपाद इज बिगिनिंग विद द with the principle, the verse Mahajana Yena Gata Sa Pantha, following in the footsteps of the great Vaishnavas. When Srila Prabhupada was enumerating Mahajans, Svambhu Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapiloman Pralada Bhishma Janak Balir Vayasakir Vayam, mentioning the names of the 12 Mahajans, and one devotee raised his hand and said, Prabhupada, you are the 13th. And Prabhupada said, you are the 14th. Just by following in the footsteps of the great souls, we become great. So today is a very special day. As you all know, it is the disappearance day of Srila Srinivas Thakur. And also we are celebrating the disappearance day of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. So I will take this opportunity to glorify just a tiny drop of their infinite glories. And for doing this, I seek the blessings of Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas and all the assembled devotees. To speak about such great souls is certainly not possible for me. It is, one has to truly receive the mercy of the Lord and the devotees to glorify great liberated personalities. So once again seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees and Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas of Radha Madhava. Little bit, we have very limited time. One could speak about, there is one whole book written on the life of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Black Lotus. And there is so much in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat about the life of Srila Srivas Thakur. So with limited capacity, limited time, I'll just try to glorify a little bit, because by glorifying great souls, one gets purified. The purpose of life is very simple, purification of heart. And that purification is possible by glorifying the Supreme Lord, by glorifying His devotees. So I'll begin with Srila Srivas Thakur. Navadvip. Srivas Thakur is much older than Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya loved Srivas so much that once Lord Chaitanya told Srivas Thakur that what to speak of you or your family members Even the dogs and the cats of your home, they are also very dear to me. So, Lord Chaitanya's love for Srivas and Srivas's love for Lord Chaitanya is unlimited. There are a few interesting pastimes which illustrate this point. Lord Chaitanya would perform kirtan in the home of Srivas Thakur. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, it is described that there are four places where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always be present. Even when he was in Jagannath Puri, there are four places where he would always be present. And one of them is the house of Srivas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya performed unlimited pastimes there. In fact, they would have kirtan during the day, during the evenings. And then one day Lord Chaitanya said, "Why are we wasting the night?" They would have whole night kirtans. The acharyas explained that this place, Srivas Angan, is non-different from Rasasthali, the place where Krishna performs his pastimes in Vrindavan. As Navadvip is non-different from Vrindavan, so the Srivas Thakur's home, where this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is performing his pastime, is non-different from Vrindavan, Rasasthali. Because Vrajendra Nandana Jai Shachisu, Radha and Krishna have appeared in the form of Lord Gauranga. So Srivas, the four brothers, Srivas, Shri Ram, Shri Pati and Shri Nidhi. And it is explained that some of the kirtans at the house of Srivas Thakur were for very advanced devotees, for the eternal associates of the Lord. During the daytime, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform kirtan, and that would be for everybody. But in the evening, or in the night, kirtans was for very intimate circle of devotees. So one day, as the kirtan was going on, there were some people who were not qualified, and they wanted to enter the kirtan. And they were knocking on the doors, but then nobody opened, because everybody was so absorbed in the chanting of the holy name. So one of those persons, he was very envious of Srivas, and he was thinking that, why am I not being allowed? So he tried to defame Srivas Thakur. He kept some abominable things outside his home, some things which are meant for Durga worship. And in the morning, when Srivas Thakur opened the door, he found that all this Durga Puja paraphernalia and other things were kept. And Srivas Thakur was not the least disturbed. He simply called everybody and said, "Look, look what we are doing here." He did not want to defend himself. Of course, the people all around, they knew the pure nature of Srivas's character, and immediately they had that place cleaned up. But Srivas Thakur, in his own way, he was exhibiting this quality of a Vaishnav. One of the qualities of a Vaishnav is that he does not try to defend himself. There is one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, in the pastimes of Parikshit Maharaj. When Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by Sringi Rishi to die within 7 days, so Parikshit Maharaj did not even try to counteract that curse. So Sukha Goswami explains, tiraskritam, that when a Vaishnava is blasphemed, or even he is tortured, or even if he is put to death, a Vaishnava never protests. The qualities which make a person very dear to Lord Chaitanya is trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadaha. From this pastime of Srivas Thakur, we can see how this quality was present in him, such great degree. He did not want to defend himself. He just accepted it. He just, even though he was not at fault, but he accepted fall. Of course, everybody around knew Shiva's purity. And Gopal Chapal, who had designed this scheme to defame Shrivas, he contracted leprosy disease and he was suffering very badly. Chaitanya Charitam explains that there were insects, there were worms, he was thrown out of the house and he was, you know, this on the street. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to pass by, and Gopal Chapal, he offered obeisances to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "You are the avatar, you are the supreme personality of Godhead, and please forgive me." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is softer than a rose, harder than a thunderbolt, was very angry, and he chastised Gopal Chapal. He said, "May you suffer like this for millions of years. You have defamed Srivas Thakur, so you should suffer." So, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport there that Gopal Chapal also was very offensive. But one thing good is, he had some simplicity in mind. He actually called the Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So at that time in the Navadvip Leela, Lord Chaitanya did not forgive him. But much later, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu moved to Jagannath Puri, and during one of his attempted visits to Vrindavan, he came to Navadvip, and at that time again Gopal Chapal begged forgiveness. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that you begged forgiveness from Srivas Thakur. You have offended Srivas Thakur, so you should beg forgiveness from Srivas Thakur. And Gopal Chapal, he begged forgiveness from Srivas, and Srivas immediately forgave. That's another quality of Srivas Thakur. Not only he tolerated insults, he was willing to forgive. A Vaishnava's quality is forgiveness, titiksha, karunika. And one of the symptoms of tolerance is forgiveness. An interesting connection between this and the pastimes of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj also. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, just about a year or so before he left this planet, in 2005 he left this planet, and he took many seminars here in Mayapur Dham, and the theme of the seminars was on forgiveness. He very much emphasized through his words and through his example of how a Vaishnava should be forgiving. For a community to stay together, the forgiveness quality is very important. Because when we stay together, knowingly or unknowingly, some offenses may take place. Srila Prabhupada once gave the example that if you take two utensils or two pieces together which are non-living, when they come together, there is a sound. So if devotees come together, there will be some differences, there may be some clashes. But the principle of forgiveness is very important. Again, we see in the biblical literatures the story of Lord Jesus Christ. He was asked by one of his followers, "How many times shall I forgive? 7 or 70? And Lord Jesus Christ replied, "7 times 70. In other words, a devotee has to forgive unlimited number of times. Because by forgiving, we are forgiven. Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are those who forgive, for they shall be forgiven. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Yesterday I had been to Surubhi Kunj in the other side of the Jalangi River, and I was reading one song by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. They are very well explaining the qualities which make one eligible to stay in this holy dham. He is mentioning this quality of Dainya Daya, to be humble, meek, tolerant, and Anyamana Pratishta Varjan, to give respect to others and expect none in return. So Haridas Thakur also embodies this principle of forgiveness. So this life of Srivas Thakur, life of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, is an impetus for us to learn this quality of forgiveness. The Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was giving the example that how if we have some ill feelings towards another devotee or even a non-devotee, even if he has done something wrong, we should forgive. So the Vaishnava is one who forgives even before the offense is completed. He was giving the example that if we have some ill feelings or desire to take revenge, it is like having burning coal in the hand. So before we may even think of hurting another, we are burning ourselves. The forgiveness is a very noble quality which we can aspire to develop by the mercy of the Lord. Ultimately, yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchan. All good qualities developed by devotional service, which is primarily by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Another wonderful incident in the life of Srivas Thakur is when his son leaves his body. So during the kirtan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his associates, was chanting the holy name, and his son died. So naturally, Srivas's wife and other ladies were crying. When Srivas heard this, he told them, "Do not cry. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is dancing in our home, and the holy name is being sung. So, what can be more auspicious time to leave the body? The child has departed at a very opportune moment and gone back to the spiritual world." And then he told his wife that if you want to cry, you should cry in a, you know, in another place. If your kirtan disturbs the Supreme Lord, I will leave home and drown myself in the Ganga. So Srivas Thakur was showing how a devotee keeps the pleasure of the Lord higher than even one's own family interest. This is this, just like something similar to the gopis. The gopis, they gave up all family interest to please the Supreme Lord by going to Vanshivat. Similarly, Srivas Thakur sacrificed his own grief just to make sure that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan would not be disturbed. But somehow or other, after some time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand. He asked Srivas, "Srivas, has anything inauspicious taken place here?" Srivas said, "My dear Lord, you are dancing in the kirtan, the holy name is being chanted, how can there be anything inauspicious?" Then other devotees informed the Supreme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked how many time back, and he learned it was more than 6 hours back. Lord Chaitanya was so moved, he said, how can I give up the association of such loving devotees who for my pleasure are willing to, you know, bear the grief, the loss of one's own dear son?" Lord Chaitanya was saying like this because very soon he was planning to leave Navadvip, take sannyas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his powers, he called Srivas Thakur's son back to life, and he asked him, "Where are you going? Why are you leaving?" And his son replied that, "By your arrangement, I was fortunate to be in this home for some time, and now by your wish, I am leaving." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told Srivas, "Know that your one son may have died, but myself and Nityananda Prabhu, we two are eternally your sons." Such deep love, like it is explained in the Bhagavatam, in the story of Amrish Maharaj. When Durvasa Muni approaches Lord Narayan for relief from the Sudarshan Chakra, Lord Narayan tells him, "Ahami bhakta paradhino, I am subordinate to my devotees. My devotees do not know anything else except me, and I do not know anything else except my devotees." So here again we find in the life of Srivas Thakur but deep attachment for the pleasure of the Lord. The Lord becomes captive in the heart of such loving devotees. Another wonderful pastime is how even a Muslim tailor, just because he was a tailor for Srivas Thakur, he also could see the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Once there was a brahmachari who was very austere, he would just take simple milk, he would not even take any khichdi, what to speak of pizza or anything, anything very tasty. He was just singing simple milk. And he requested Shiva Thakur, I want to see the dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As you know, the nocturnal pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were for very intimate devotees who were on the highest level of Krishna consciousness. Shiva Thakur, out of mercy, he allowed him that you can see hiding behind. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his kirtan, he was dancing, and he said, I don't feel ecstasy. Is there somebody in the room who is not supposed to be here? And she was very cleverly replied, my dear Lord, there are no atheist here. There is only one simple brahmachari. And he is very austere. He is simply taking milk. Lord Chaitanya was angry like fire. He said, get him out of here immediately. You know? And the brahmachari immediately walked away. And Lord Chaitanya said, what do you think? Simply by performing austerities, you can enter into my pastimes. But this brahmachari, although he was chastised, it's a great insult to be chastised publicly. You are in a room in a lecture or in a kirtan and you are asked to leave. But he accepted it. He accepted it in a positive way. He was thinking, oh, by the mercy of Shivas, at least for a few moments I could see them. See, when we accept mercy in whatever way it comes, we become eligible to receive more mercy. There's one story in Jagannath Puri like this, that Shrivas Thakur was observing the dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the Rath Yatra. And King Pratap Rudra was behind and he was trying to see Lord Chaitanya's dancing, and you know, Shrivas was coming in between Lord Chaitanya and the king. And so Harichandan, the secretary of the king, was trying to tell Shrivas that he should move aside or let the king see. And Shrivas was so absorbed. Lord Chaitanya personally dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. What can be more absorbing pastime? And once or twice, and finally Shrivas felt so disturbed, he turned aside and slapped Harichandan. And Harichandan was insulted. Harichandan was one of the close aides, the secretary of the king. But King Pratap Rudra told his secretary, Bhagyavana tumi ihara hastas parsha paila. You are so fortunate. Bhagyavan tumi thappad paila. You have been slapped by a pure devotee. In other words, mercy of the Lord, in whatever way it comes, should be accepted. And ultimately, everything that is happening in a devotee's life is mercy. From the beginning of the womb in the mother till the death, everything is the mercy of the Lord. And here again you find an interesting parallel in the life of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, whose is appearance day we are celebrating today. He accepted cancer as the mercy of the Lord. How many of us can feel like that, you know? Suppose you get temperature 102, 103 and say, Hari Bol, today I have malaria, Hare Krishna, I have cancer. Very, very difficult news to digest. But Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, following in the footsteps of Vasudev Datta Thakur, actually prayed. He prayed in the offering to Srila Prabhupada in 2004. He wrote an offering and he prayed, my Lord, that so many difficulties are there in our ISKCON society, and if you so desire, you can give me the reaction so that devotees can advance faster. One of his godbrothers saw the offering and he asked Maharaj, do you really mean it? And Maharaj was smiling. And sure enough, within few months, it was detected that he had cancer, malign cancer, and he accepted everything as Krishna's mercy. This verse of Lord Brahma, Tatte Anukampa Susamikshamana Bhunjana. This verse can remain theory for us unless we see the lives of Shrivas Thakur, life of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, life of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has so many wonderful disciples setting an example of how to see everything as Krishna's mercy. This one sentence, to accept everything as Krishna's mercy, can be the password to the spiritual world. Just with folded hands, thank Krishna. I am grateful to you for whatever mercy you have shown. Everything is your mercy. So this brahmacharya also accepted everything as the Lord's mercy and he was leaving. And Lord Chaitanya called him back. And then he told him that simply by austerities you cannot attain my mercy. By rendering devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya placed his lotus feet on the head of this brahmacharya. Because of his connection with Srivas Thakur, he received mercy. Mercy is always available through the media of Krishna's devotee, not directly. The principle of Gopir Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Samila, to be servant of the servant, to have some connection with Krishna through his intimate associates is the way to enter into the pastimes of the Lord. We are also fortunate to be in a society where we have connection to Srila Prabhupada, either directly or through his disciples. Through this connection to Srila Prabhupada, we get connection to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to the Panchatattva. Another interesting pastime in Srivas Thakur's life is his mother-in-law. She also wanted to see. But somehow she did not approach Srivas directly. She was just hiding without even informing Srivas Thakur. Similar pastime. And in this case, again Lord Chaitanya said, I am not feeling ecstasy. It is somebody who is not supposed to be there. And Srivas Thakur looked around, searched, and he found his mother-in-law hiding. Immediately took her by the hair and told her to leave. Now naturally, you know, to chastise mother-in-law is not so pleasant thing. It may affect relationships. But Srivas Thakur was not concerned. He was concerned about what will please the Supreme Lord. Dharma means to ultimately please the Supreme Lord. At the risk of one's own health, at the risk of one's relationship, to surrender everything for the pleasure of the Lord. In the Mahaprakash Leela, which took place at the house of Srivas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya, who would always be in the mood of a devotee, suddenly assumed the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he told the devotees, perform abhishek. Devotees were bringing water from the Ganges, bathing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and reciting different prayers. And one devotee, one Mataji, she was bringing water and helping in the abhishek. She was not directly performing the abhishek, but she was in the mood of servant of the servant. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with her, he asked her what her name was. She replied, her name was Dukhi. Lord Chaitanya immediately said, from today your name will be Sukhi, happy one. In fact, without coming to Krishna consciousness, we are all Dukhi. We become Sukhi or happy by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya called one by one all the devotees and fulfilled their desires. He asked Advaita Acharya, what do you want? Advaita Acharya wanted to see the universal form of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya showed him the same universal form which he showed to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. To Murari Gupta, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his form of Sita Ram. Instead of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw it was Sita Ram and Lakshman. And Murari Gupta saw himself, he had transformed into Hanuman. Lord Chaitanya asked Murari Gupta, what benediction do you want? And Murari Gupta said, my dear Lord, I just want to have the association of your devotees. Those devotees who accept you as the Lord and themselves as the servants. In other words, he prayed for the association of devotees and glorification of the Lord. Then Lord Chaitanya called for Haridas Thakur. And he asked him, what do you want? Haridas Thakur was so humble. If you see the prayers in Chaitanya Bhagavat, before even asking anything, he was just explaining how degraded and fallen he is. That's the reason why Haridas Thakur could chant so many rounds, because he had this quality of humility to an unlimited degree. Haridas Thakur was saying, I am below Varnashram, I have no qualification. I have a great disease. I love to be respected. Although we knew he never wanted respect. He prayed, "My dear Lord, I want the remnants of your devotees. I want to become a dog in the house of a devotee." This is not Brahma, such an exalted personality. He is showing the importance of just getting the remnants of Vaishnavas. He was praying, "My Lord, I just want to remember you. I just want to remember you." And then Lord Chaitanya asked, he called for many devotees, one by one. He did not call for Mukunda. And then Srivas Thakur, another great quality of Srivas Thakur is that in his pastimes, he was approaching the Lord for showing mercy, who would not get mercy otherwise. A devotee feels great pleasure in seeing others receive mercy than himself receiving mercy. Srivas Thakur said, "What about Mukunda?" Lord Chaitanya said, "Don't even talk about him. The wretched person. Sometimes he will go with a blade of grass between his teeth, another time he will take an iron mace." Because Mukunda had some connection with a person who had some impersonal tendencies. Lord Chaitanya did not want to give mercy to Mukunda. Mukunda heard this, he was crying and he said, "Srivas, please ask the Supreme Lord, will I ever get mercy?" And Lord Chaitanya replied, "Tell him he'll get mercy after 10 million lives." Mukunda Dutt was in ecstasy, he was crying. "Only after 10 million births, I will receive. Only after 10 million births," he was dancing in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Bring him immediately." The devotee said, "Mukunda, Lord is calling you." He said, "Oh yeah, I know, after 10 million births. No, right now, Lord Chaitanya wants to see you right now." Lord Chaitanya told Mukunda, "Because you had faith in my words, when I said I will show you mercy after 10 million births, you had faith in my words, you accepted it. That's why I decided to forgive all your offenses." In the Bible, there's a great emphasis on patience. He said, "He who simply waits, he also serves." Sometimes service to the Lord means just to wait. A devotee should be willing to wait. One day, 1 year, one life, 100 lives, 10 million lives. Utsaha, dhairya, nishchaya, to be patient. Material world also, a good patient has to be patient. It will be patient. Sometimes the Lord may show mercy immediately, sometimes the Lord may not show mercy for many births. A devotee cannot demand, can simply be patient. And Lord asked Mukunda, "What do you want?" Mukunda said, "I am having your darshan, but Hiranyaksha, the great demon, he also saw Varaha Dev. He was the first one to see Lord Varaha Dev, but he did not have any service attitude. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu saw the mighty form of Lord Narsingadev, but he did not have any devotion. That dhobi, that washerman in Mathura, he saw Supreme Lord Krishna face to face, and Krishna asked him for some clothes, but did not want to part with the clothes. I just want a service attitude." Kubja, she rendered some service to Krishna, although she was a hunchback woman, and she was blessed by Krishna. I just want to serve you." And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased, he blessed Mukunda. He said, "Whenever I descend, you will descend with me. You will be one of my singers and you will chant for my pleasure, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." Lord Chaitanya was showing mercy to everybody, but not to Shachi Mata. And then she was asked about, "What about her?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "She has offended Advaita Acharya." What was the offense of Shachi Mata? It was not a verbal offense, it was simply a mental offense. See, Lord Chaitanya, elder brother Vishwarup, was very much attracted by Advaita Acharya. And they would have Krishna Katha whole day, every day. And after some time, Vishwarup renounced the world, took sannyas. Shachi Mata in her mind was thinking that this Advaita is Dvaitmaya, he is full of duplicity. He has taken away my one son, he may take away another son also. She was just thinking in her mind, she did not even reveal. But Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of God, had a super soul within everybody's heart. She could understand, said, I will not show her mercy unless she goes and takes the dust of the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya. So devotees went to Advaita Acharya and asked. Advaita Acharya said, Chachi Mata, she is Yashoda, she is Aditi. In her womb the Supreme Lord resided for 13 months. She is the mother of all devotion. How can I give the dust of my feet? And just by glorifying Chachi Mata, he became unconscious. Immediately the devotees took the dust and gave it to Chachi Mata, and she became unconscious. So, but Chaitanya wanted to make a point how important this principle is, to not even offend Vaishnavas mentally, what to speak of physically or verbally. Because just like a big container of milk, with a small hole everything can be drained down. So volumes and volumes of devotional service rendered, a small offense, we can get sidetracked, at least for some time, be separated from Krishna. I'll speak something about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj from this biography. Something about his principles, his preaching. As you know, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was a very powerful preacher, not only to simple people, but he was a great speaker, writer of so many books, and he travelled all over the world, and heads of the nations would become his, something like you can say, like his disciples would become attracted to him. So here are some of the important principles which he wrote. One principle he said is, let us remember that Bhagavad Gita was spoken on a battlefield. We are also spiritual warriors. Anybody who is trying to progress on the path back to Godhead is a spiritual warrior. We each have our own battlefield. We may be in the temple, we may be in a festival, we may be at home, or we may be at work. But wherever we are, Krishna is there and Maya is also there. This battle is always going on. And in a war, sometimes there will be casualties, there will also be spies, there will be traitors. Some of our colleagues may become victims also, but we have to go on fighting. Each individual person is held responsible for certain duties, and one person's failure can sometimes discourage many. So it's very important that each devotee be a perfect example in this battlefield. And success of each devotee can bring victory to many. Another interesting quality of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj was that he would chant 42 rounds every day, almost till the last days. Very determined, and I have heard his chanting, many of you have heard also. It's very, very clear, distinct. And of course he's famous for his dancing kirtans. The whole temple would vibrate when he would chant the name of Gauranga and Nityananda. Second point, as a sadhana, he would say to take a daily inventory, to note down in a diary of how much we are progressing on the path back to Godhead. Always think that today is the last day of my life. This was something he also taught here in Mayapur when he took seminars, Die Before You Die, explaining how a devotee should, each day he should think that today, like 26th of June, is the last day of my life. Srila Prabhupada told this to Satsarup Das Goswami Maharaj also. And Satsarup Maharaj was inquiring that how can I make rapid spiritual advancement. Srila Prabhupada said that you should always think that today is the last day of my life. So if one is in that consciousness, then one can understand the urgency of taking shelter of Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Another important principle which Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj taught through his books and example is the mood of a beggar. He has written a series of books and the title is Beggar. How a devotee who wants to achieve the mercy of the Lord should be in the mood of a beggar, begging for the mercy of the Lord, begging for the taste of the holy name. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj writes that one should pray to the spiritual master, who is non-different from his picture, pray to the acharyas to give us strength to continue on in this battle against the illusory energy. We should be very personal in our prayers. Sometimes we tend to pray only officially. We just somehow finished 16 rounds. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would emphasize that when you are offering prayers, Krishna is listening, the spiritual master is listening, and the prayer should be offered in a mood that the Lord is listening to my prayer. It is not just some official thing, but it's something from the heart. And Krishna will reciprocate with the devotee depending on the feelings with which he does the offering. Third point he mentions here, look at your life distinctly and just try to see if you are helping others to relieve the miseries of other people. In one of the exchanges, as you know, during his last days he was in Gitanagari, and one of his exchanges with his caretakers, very few devotees were there, he was saying that how many of you can feel the pain of others? If you can feel the pain of others, then you are advancing in spiritual life. But during his last days, because he had got terminal cancer, and as you know, cancer is so painful, as he was getting pain, sometimes he would be very in a painful situation, he would say, now I am realizing how much others are suffering. I should be concerned about others' suffering. Just like Vasudeva Datta Thakur prayed that, Lord, all living entities be liberated, let everybody go back home, back to Godhead, and let me suffer for them. Similarly, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he took that mood. He followed in the footsteps of Vasudeva Datta Thakur to take on that mood that let me suffer for other devotees. So, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj explains in this wonderful point here, fourth point, remember the prayer, he would say, my dear Lord, whatever we need to become better servants of Prabhupada, let that happen. Whatever is needed for becoming a pure servant of Prabhupada, let that come to me. And whatever is an obstacle in my service to Srila Prabhupada, let that be taken away. And then finally we come to the time when he was about to leave. This was in 2004. He was diagnosed as fourth stage cancer on his left foot. And as I told you earlier, he was praying to the Lord in his offering to the 2004 offering to Srila Prabhupada. He was praying to Lord, my dear Lord, let me suffer to help other devotees. Can you arrange that their sufferings come to me so that the other devotees can become free from anguish and thus joyfully serve you with lesser difficulties? When Srila Satswarup Maharaj heard this, he was completely surprised. And when I asked him about this, when Satswarup Maharaj asked Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was saying that, I am preaching so much, but my preaching is not so effective. I am praying to the Lord, if by my being suffering more, if by my having diseases, if that can make devotees more serious or more advanced in Krishna consciousness, then that should take place. So he was willing to put his body on the line completely for total purification of himself and for helping the world. So ultimately, when the cancer was diagnosed, he chose to remain in Gitanagari. As you know, most devotees would like to be in Vrindavan or Mayapur when the time comes to leave the body. But Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, there are several reasons he mentions. And one of these is that he wanted to show that all of Srila Prabhupada's temples, wherever the deities are installed, those places are not different from Vrindavan or Mayapur. That's one reason. And second reason he explains is that I want many of my disciples that they should learn from this. If I were to leave my body in Vrindavan, not many people would be able to learn. But by seeing my departure, many of my disciples, they will be inspired to prepare for the final journey. Just days before he left, actually many disciples and many his godbrothers and many devotees from all over ISKCON, they were coming to meet him, and they were all surprised Generally, when a person on his deathbed, you come to encourage him. But just by seeing Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, they would feel encouraged. He would not only be talking to them, he would be joking. Sometimes he would say that, you know, I want to taste this pizza. Then last wish of a dying man, he would joke like this. And then Chandramouli Maharaj and Gunangrahi Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj and all his god brothers, they were around him. And he would be exchanging, he would having loving exchanges with them. And then finally when he came to his last days, he said, now I want to just internalize my sadhana. I want to enter into the stage of Nirjan Bhajan, which is a stage towards the final days. Just I want to be immersed in the thoughts of Vrindavan. He was observing DVDs, videos of Vrindavan, was reading Prabhupada's messages on Vrindavan, and he decided, now this identity of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj or John Fowers, I do not want to identify like this as anything except to be connection with Krishna in Vrindavan. So he was quoting here from one of the writings of Srila Prabhupada, from the life of Srila Prabhupada, that when Prabhupada was in his final days, he chose to be in Vrindavan. And he was surrounded with kirtan, and he was telling his disciples that now you should all take up the responsibility of traveling and preaching so that I can immerse myself in internal bhajan. So like that he was getting more and more absorbed, and suddenly it so happened that some of the Brajavasis who were residents of Barshana, they were very good friends with Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So Radhanath Maharaj was with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. One of his last desire was that I want to leave my body in the arms of Radhanath Swami Maharaj, since they were very good friends for many, many years in New Vrindavan earlier. So many times Radhanath Maharaj would lead kirtan, and sometimes they would speak about the Madhavendra Puri's final pastimes. And you know this famous verse which is mentioned, Ai Dina Dayadra Nath Hai Mathura Nath. For many hours together, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would discuss with Radhanath Maharaj this particular verse. Now as you know, when a person is on a deathbed, sometimes he may be in so much disturbed state of mind, it's very difficult to speak or hear. But in spite of his advanced stage of cancer, his mind was totally fixed. When the Brajavasis came, they were singing some songs of Radharani, and by hearing the songs, he started howling. He was crying so loudly. And then once Radhanath Maharaj told him during his last departure days that Prabhupada wanted to do Govardhan Parikrama. So in the place in Gitanagari also, they have Govardhan. So would you like to do also? He was ready. He was very eager. But then Prachalila Mataji and Ekavira Prabhu, who were his close disciples attending to him, so they felt that his body was too weak. So they took him outside where he could see Govardhan, and they had small Govardhan made in the room where he could do some parikrama. In other words, he was totally absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, and he was remembering Krishna. One day, during his last days, many times Tamal Krishna Maharaj appeared to him in his dream. Because Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, they were very close friends. And it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj who would give reports to Srila Prabhupada about the activities of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj when he was known as Ghanishyam Prabhu. In fact, once Prabhupada was so happy with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj after hearing the book distribution news that he embraced Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and said, "Your life is perfect. Thus you have distributed these books." So once he had a dream of Sri Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj came to him in the dream with tears and said, "Prabhupada is waiting for you. Prabhupada is calling you." So he could understand that now it's becoming time for me to depart. There's one very beautiful deity of Damodar in the early 1980s, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was taking a walk near the Juhu area. He found this deity, and one queen of Jaipur gave one Radharani deity, which Tamal Krishna Maharaj was worshipping. First he was calling them Radha Gopinath, then because Tamal Krishna Maharaj was serving Radha Damodar, so he called them Radha Damodar. So when devotee brought these deities to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj during his final days, and he was so happy, he came out running and he had darshan of these deities. And he replied, he said, Krishna is responding to a devotee's heart. In this way, finally on June 24th, just 2-3 days, 27th June he left according to the English calendar. On 24th June, he said that Krishna has given me a house. So Radhanath Swami was sitting next to him. Radhanath Swami said, Krishna gave you a house? That means you are ready? You are ready to go back home, back to Godhead? Krishna is waiting for you. There is a coward boys and the forest, and Prabhupada is opening the door for you, the door back home, back to Godhead. In the meanwhile, another Prabhupada disciple, Loka Varnottam Prabhu, he came and he started to cry in separation, feeling imminent separation. And then he said, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, please stay for some more time. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, okay, I must stay. And then he was also saying, I must go through the door. So finally, Radhanath Swami Maharaj began to chant Kirtan in a soft voice. He liked it very much. And this continued on for 1 or 2 days. And then came the last day, that is 27th June 2005, Monday. He was lying on his bed surrounded with caretakers. And Radhanath Swami was catching hold of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's hand. And there was a Giriraj Shila which was brought near Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. One devotee was massaging him. And in the meanwhile, he was fixing his attention at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And the chanting of the holy name was going on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And just at that moment, around, I think it was afternoon time, 3:30 or so, at that time, remembering Srila Prabhupada, hearing the holy name of Krishna, he left. And Sangeeta Mataji, who was like one of the main caretakers, Prabhupada's disciple, she told Brahma Murat Prabhu, brought some water from the Radhakund water, and some tulasi leaves were given on his tongue. In this way he entered into the pastimes. So we can pray for the mercy of Shivas Thakur, mercy of Tirtha Maharaj. Actually, Prabhupada says, for a Vaishnav, appearance or disappearance, both is glorious. One feels great happiness that the Divine Personality is entered into Krishna's abode, and of course there is feeling of separation. Let us beg their mercy so that we can also leave the world in a Krishna conscious state of mind, remembering Krishna, remembering the holy name. Shila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj ki jai, Shila Srivas Thakur ki jai, Shila Prabhupada ki jai. Comments. Jinani Vas Prabhu would like to comment. Pankajangri Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Adishan Prabhu would like to say something. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.